Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score, is Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant. How are you, Chris?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Good. Wonderful. Just got in last night, been hanging out. You've been here for a little while, though.
Yeah.
Reading a bunch of stuff from Joe, from you, about the perception from last year into this year. Joe said yesterday that, I guess he was asked if the team lost its mojo or was trying to get mojo back. And he kind of said, no, I mean, we had 95 wins last year. We're a good ball club. Is there like a misconception from the outside about where you guys are at going from last year into this year, you think?
Yeah, maybe a little. I just think the expectations have changed. So anytime you get eliminated from the playoffs that early, no one's going to be happy about it. And it doesn't matter what you did to get to that point, you know, whether it's 95 wins or, you know, 85 in a wild card. You know, we still made the wild card, and it wasn't fun going out like that, but it's just the expectations have completely changed in 4 years, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's frustrating at times because, you know, you want to stick up for your team and say all the right things and saying, you know, we won 95 games in the fourth playoff appearance in a row, but, you know, we just didn't end up getting it done. So that's just where all the frustration comes from.
I heard one interpretation of the offseason in that the best acquisition the Cubs possibly could have in the offseason is reacquiring a healthy Chris Bryant. And it appears that you are. What exactly, I don't know that I've heard specifically, what was the injury diagnosed in your shoulder? What happened?
It was more of a thing where, I mean, there's a ton of bone bruising and, you know, a lot of other, you know, there's like cysts inside when you're trying to when your body's trying to repair something, you know, but with the bone bruise, you kind of have to give it time to rest completely. And that's what I did this off season. I didn't pick up a bat for, you know, 2 months. So I really let that thing heal. And, you know, right when I picked up a bat the first time I was swinging, I was like, oh wow, this is night and day. Like I don't feel anything at all. Everything feels like it's completely healed. So that was more of a, yeah, I kind of expected it to be kind of like a progression in the off season when I picked up a bat, but I didn't feel it at all. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to get right back into this. This feels great because, you know, I got to a point in the off season where my left shoulder was stronger than my right shoulder. I was doing so much work on that side, and I was like, okay, I'm right where I need to be. Nothing hurts. Everything feels great. So I'm going into the spring 1,000% confident that, you know, this isn't going to happen again.
That's got to be the longest you've gone without picking up a baseball bat since you were, what, 9?
You know, I feel like when I was 9, I was playing pretty much year-round, honestly. But
so that has to be the longest you've not swung, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, especially now, you know, playing so many games in such a short amount of time like that, it's important to leave the bat in the garage for a long time.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to slowly like push my off seasons back where I start hitting. And especially this last off season, I was like, I'm going to take as much time as I need. And I did that. So, I mean, maybe I'll continue to do that. Cause when like I said, I first picked up that bat, I felt great.
Did you have to unlearn any of the stuff you were trying to do late last year with the two-handed swing or, you know, getting the top hand through instead of off the bat?
No, not at all. I mean, I felt like at a point last year I was, you know, I was listening to the training staff and saying how, you know, they said if you did this, you know, you might alleviate some of your problems. And I was doing it, and it worked. It just didn't feel right for me. And there were times last year where I was like, I'm just trying to relearn how I swung before. So I was in the cage. I didn't know, like, how to release my top hand again. I was like getting so frustrated with myself because I was like, I hit like that my whole life. So when I started this offseason, I just picked it up and it just was exactly how I hit before. And I was like, that's what I needed. I'm a great player, and that what's got me there was just being the same person I am each and every year. So I just went out there and do my thing, and I'm not here to change anything. I swung this way my whole life, and I'm not going to change it.
I was reading something you were talking about, I guess it was like last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, something like that, with your keeping your elbow buried into your hip, that kind of thing, keeping things really close. As a taller hitter, you felt like that was an important thing about generating power and whatnot. Did that feel like when it occurred to you? Because it sounded like it happened like in an indoor training session or a hitting session.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just in the batting cage, and I kept like, you know, rolling over balls off the tee. Like, it wasn't as consistent as I wanted it to be. And, you know, when I'm bad, my back shoulder kind of disconnects from my body, mm-hmm. and I kind of come around balls. And, you know, I think everybody's best swing is where their back elbow is super tight to their torso. And then if it's an away pitch, you kind of release it that way. Whereas if it's inside, you already have it there. You just bring your hands in. Some guys like to kind of come around, but I feel like you got to always come back in with your back elbow to get to the inside pitch, which is, you know, why guys, you know, kind of get jammed inside and
right.
stuff like that. But that, I mean, that's, I look at all my best swings and, you know, that's the perfect position I want to be in. So I just kept doing that in the cage, and I kept hitting like perfect balls, like high line drives to center field. I'm like, I just need to practice that way every time.
So when you find something like that, that's seemingly pretty simple, like stuff you've done before, what's your next step with like talking to a new hitting coach like Posse, like Anthony Iaposi? Do you say, hey, here's what I found. Make sure I keep doing this. Is that something that you keep in your own head? Like, what's your dialogue with the new hitting coach like in that regard?
It's definitely something that, I mean, I like to keep a lot of the stuff in my own head because, I mean, Posse is great. I tell him all about that. But sometimes I just kind of – I feel like if everybody has different thoughts about hitting, and if you feel one way – about your swing and you kind of say it to someone else, maybe they don't perceive it the way you perceive it, and then it kind of just clouds your head even more. So like, if I come up with a swing thought that works for me, you know, I'm not gonna just go out there and shout it to everybody, because I'm like this works for me right now. I don't want anybody to tell me it doesn't, but Post is super understanding of all that. I mean, I had him in 2014 and as the minor league coordinator, and he's awesome. I mean, I think his greatest asset is the mental grind, the just being the positive guy that you need as a hitting coach. You know, he's not going to break down mechanics if you don't want to. You know, he knows that we're all really good players and we've got to the big leagues for a reason. So sometimes it's just what we're thinking, not really our mechanics.
At the end of last season, a very, very honest and raw Theo Epstein spent 71 minutes saying everything on his mind, mm-hmm. and one of the very striking comments that he made was, launch angle isn't a fad. And we know what was talked about very openly, very frankly, in the player exit interviews. Are we just going to kind of pretend the chilly thing didn't happen? Are we just going to reset, say, okay, that was a thing, and let's pick it up from wherever we were?
No, I mean, I think it's just important to kind of, you know, just go year to year and see what worked and what didn't. And it wasn't all Chile. I mean, Chile was great with us, great guy to be around, fun. You know, he had a 19-year career in the big leagues. And, you know, I'm never going to say anything bad about him. I just didn't – some of our philosophies didn't line up, you know. So, I mean, that's not a bad thing at all. I mean, I disagree with a lot of people, you know, just because I've been doing this one way my whole life and it's worked up to this point. So it's like – you know, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to go up to the plate with different swing thoughts each time and then it just clouds my head and then I'm up there thinking rather than just keeping it super simple up there, you know? But the Chile being here is only going to make us all better, because it's just like a new experience, a new, experience that we had to go through, and it wasn't a bad thing at all. You know, it just didn't work out for us as a team, but, you know, that's going to happen.
Talking baseball with Chris Bryant here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm wondering, we were talking a lot the last 2 weeks on the show about the like Edgertronic stuff and the Rapsodo stuff. Mm. Have you looked at any of that for your own swing? I know some hitters are using it, some aren't. Are you interested in it at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the cage. I use it. I don't. So you said the launch angle thing, and it's like, I'm always talked about in the launch angle, but it's like I don't go up to the plate and tell myself I have to hit this ball at whatever, 30 degrees in the air.
You know, but you always say you're trying to hit the bottom third of the ball,
right? The bottom third of the ball, because the pitcher, my whole life, they're in the dugout, everybody's like, get a ground ball. Like, no, I don't want to do that. If you're trying to get me to hit a ground ball, I'm obviously going to try to hit a line drive, high line drive, fly ball in the air, you know. That's what I'm going to try to do. So with the Rapsodo thing, mm-hmm. everybody has it. It's just a easy way to get feedback in the batting cage. You know, like I used it for the first time in spring training here a couple weeks ago, and I've always thought that, you know, I hit a certain point in the batting cage, I think, oh, that's a good hard deep fly ball maybe over the fence. And yeah. then I look at the data and I'm like, oh no, that's just a line out to left field or a line out to center field. Like maybe I have to get a little more in the air to get exactly what I want out of this, you know. So for me, it's just a good tool for feedback as to, like, you know, if you can't hit on the field every day, it's just like, okay, it shows you what you're doing. Obviously, it shows your exit velocity and launch angle and spin access and all this crazy stuff that isn't necessarily what I'm looking for, but it does provide instant feedback.
You sound like a vet.
I feel like I'm pretty good talking about this stuff because, like, sometimes I get so frustrated with, like, I see stuff on, you know, some of the networks out there. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't stand this. I can't watch it anymore. It's just like poison to me. It's just like everybody has like this different spin on to like what we're thinking as players. And
if there's one thing you could correct, what would it be? If there's one thing that really that gets you, you could just say, listen, this is the truth. Understand this.
Well, like I remember I was in a game, I think my rookie year, and I'm not going to say where I was because then it gives away who was saying it, but it was, I went in between innings and someone told me like what this guy said about me. He's like, his dad taught him to hit 4 fly balls to center field. And I'm like, come on, like that's really what I want to do, hit 4 fly balls to center field and get out every time? No, pitcher wants me to hit the ball on the ground. I don't want to hit the ball on the ground. I want it to go in the gaps over the fence. You want slugging percentage. You want all this stuff. It's not about completely swinging up and hitting pop flies every time. It's just like the pitch is coming in at an angle. The guy's 6'5 on a mound that's however many inches tall. It's coming in at an angle. To hit that squarely, you kind of have to have a slight uppercut. And that's all that I'm thinking. I'm trying to keep it super simple. I do everything simple with my swing at the plate. Very little movement, very little leg kick, head movement. So, like, if I can just get my bat on the right angle of the pitch coming in, then I set myself up for a lot of success.
Chris, maybe most importantly, before we let you go, Tommy La Stella was a joker in this clubhouse. Who's stepping up to take up some of that slack, man? I mean, there's no bouncy house in the parking lot when we pulled in. Yeah. Who's pulling pranks?
Gosh, you know, I've missed that guy so much.
Really?
Yeah. That guy, he was so – he's just so different. You need the type of guys like that in the clubhouse. He was my locker mate, so he really broke it down with me a lot. He always pumped me up and telling me, hey, man, you're like one of the best players I've ever seen. I'm like, dude, thanks. Like, you probably didn't know I needed that, but I needed that, so thank you. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the clubhouse that are super great, super fun to be around, and that's really what makes our clubhouse great. It's just everybody has a different personality. Everybody has something different they bring to the table, and that makes us so good. But we have yet to get any bouncy houses in the parking lot.
It's not coming from Joe anymore either. I think those days of him being the social chairman of the fraternity are probably over. And he says he's going to coach a little bit more. And I know that he has mentioned that his doctorate, as he put it, is in hitting. Has he been more vocal so far about hitting styles? You know, being there with Post and getting his opinion.
Yeah, he's definitely been around the batting cage more when we're out on the field, the opportunity hitting after practice, and he just wants us to succeed so bad, and he wants to set us up for success. And if that's implementing super fun weird drills where we're hitting super small baseballs and off the machine and stuff like that, it's important to kind of change the game up a little bit, keep it fun. That he's really good at that. So if he's out there more hands-on showing us what he thinks we should do better, I mean, we're all going to listen and be ears for that. So it's cool. I mean, he's a great guy to be around, too. Super great energy. So I'd like to see him around more often, too.
Chris, really appreciate you stopping by. Best of luck.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
That is Chris Bryant of the Cubs.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.